This morning we're going to be taking our text from 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 5 through 9. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 5 through 9. I hope you've brought your Bibles with you this morning, and we're going to be looking at the Christian graces. We've been talking about each one of these Christian graces over the last several months. We have discussed the first few, and we're continuing on, and this morning we're going to be talking about self-control, or temperance, or as sometimes is translated, moderation. And as we think about this particular Christian grace, let's think about how it fits into this list of Christian graces in 2 Peter 1 verses 5 through 9 as we read these verses together. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Self-control is the management of our desires by our spirits to fulfill God's purposes within our lives. That's what it means to have self-control. You see, each one of us has a body, and each one of us has a spirit. And the body has certain desires, and the spirit has certain desires as well. And we are supposed to cultivate spiritual desires, and we are supposed to regulate bodily desires. And so self-control is given so that we can take control of that old body that God has given us and make it do what the Lord wants us to do with it. And so that is something that is difficult for many people, because it is so hard to admit that the body needs to be controlled. There's so many of us that just want our bodies to be satisfied and to give the body just whatever it is that the body wants. And so we end up desiring to control others instead of control self. You see, we actually grow up doing this. This is something we learn from a very early age. And if you watch your kids playing with each other and getting along with each other, or maybe not getting along with each other, you will see this very thing starting to be learned in their life. You see, because what happens? Something occurs between the children, and one of them comes to you and says, "Johnny told me this," or "Susie told me that," or "Billy said this," or "Jane said that." You know, whatever it is, the finger is always being pointed at someone else. It's his fault, or it's her fault, or it's their fault. But you see, it's never my fault. And that's where self-control begins to show a lack within our life, is when we start blaming others instead of self. Well, it is a lot easier to do that, see? It's a lot easier to say to other people, you should do this, or you should do that, or this is how you ought to behave, or this is how you ought to behave, than to tell myself, I need to change. It's so much easier to blame other people because we don't have to take ownership of our own lives when we blame others. We can constantly be pointing out the faults of other people and their problems and sit back and relax and say, look how great I am. I don't have any problems at all. It's all everybody else's problem and not mine. But that's not being honest, first of all. And that's failing to recognize the need for self-control in my life. Because the very first thing that I need to understand to have self-control in my life is that I am a person and I have a body that needs to be under control. And I have desires that need to be under control. And so self-control begins with understanding that I am the focus of control in my life and not other people. Okay? Now, we cannot begin to have self-control in our life unless we get that point across first. Because if we're simply going to sit back and say, it's other people's fault and not mine, we're not going to have self-control. And there's going to be something. There's going to be something that's out of control in our life because we're not taking responsibility for our own lives. We're not taking ownership of our own life. And look, we will come up with all kinds of reasons to justify self in this regard. We will say, well, I don't have to criticize myself because of this. You know, whatever it might be. It could be a lot of different things. Maybe it's some circumstance that you're, because of my family situation or because of my health or because of what I had for lunch or because of my job or because of, my car broke down or whatever it is. There's always some way to self-justify. There's always some way to rationalize what we've done. But listen to what the Bible says, and this is the very first thing we need to tell ourselves when we start acting like we don't need to have self-control within our life. Here's the very first thing we need to tell ourselves. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can understand it or who can know it? Well, God knows our hearts better than we do. And that's a great thing because He really wants to help us. And He really wants to change us to be conformed to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. And so when we start self-justifying or we start rationalizing, we need to remember what God said through Jeremiah. The heart is deceitful above all things. And what does that mean? There's nothing more deceitful than my own heart reasoning with me about why I can do the things that I really shouldn't do. And that means self-control is not being exercised or practiced. Well, spiritual people, really spiritual people, to be spiritual. So many people today talk about being spiritual. Spiritual people, if you want to be a spiritual person, then practice self-control. Because self-control is at the heart of being spiritual. And you can't be spiritual without controlling self. So this morning, let's talk about self-control. And in order to have self-control within our life, we've got to realize, number one, what is out of control. Because there are some things that are out of control in our life. And that's true for every single person, okay? Because every single person has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And sin is a lack of self-control, among other things, okay? But first and foremost is a lack of self-control, all right? So, number one, we have to realize what is out of control, and that is our desires. Number two, we need to understand who is in control, and that's God. Number three, we need to understand how to have self-control, and that is with Jesus and His Spirit. And then finally, why we need self-control. And that is to fulfill God's purposes. So let's talk about self-control this morning as we focus on these Christian graces. We're supposed to add these things to our life. Faith, virtue, self-control, knowledge. We've talked about faith, virtue, and knowledge, and now we're going to talk about self-control. And the picture here is that Peter has a whole recipe. He's got this recipe of ingredients that will help us to live the Christian life and to be like Jesus and to not be unfruitful, you see, in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's important to have the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ for us so that we can live in a way that's godly and pure and holy and good and have lives full of joy and love and peace. Now, everybody wants peace and joy in their life, but few people are willing to get it because, and one of the reasons is because of the lack of self-control within their lives. So let's talk about self-control. In order to have self-control, we've got to realize, first of all, what is out of control. And there are some things that are out of control, and we have to confess this. My life is out of control. All right? That's the first thing we've got to confess. And you say, well, my life's not out of control. Everything, I got everything under control. Well, what do you mean by that? Are you sinless? Are you perfect? Have you never made an error in your life? Are you completely flawless? Well, I know I'm not. I'm not sinless. I am not flawless. I have made errors in my life. I have committed sins within my life. And unless you're Jesus Christ, you have to confess the same thing. You see, because we've got to admit that my life is out of control. And it needs to be brought under control. Listen to James chapter 1 and verses 14 through 15. James chapter 1 and verses 14 through 15. Let's turn there and look at what James has to say about a life that is out of control. Okay, now listen to what he says here. James 1 verses 14 and 15. He says this, each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Now every single person is under this situation. We are tempted by our own desires. Each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Now every single person has desires. And it's our desires that are out of control. That's what's out of control. Our desires. And when we allow those desires to be enticed and we pursue them, then we end up in a situation where we give birth to sin in our life. Or we conceive sin within our life. And if we leave sin unchecked, it continues to grow and grow and grow until it gives birth to death. Yes, death. That's right. That's how serious this is. But it starts with our desires. That's what's out of control. That's what brings sin into our life. Our own desires. And this is what the Apostle Paul is talking about in Galatians chapter 5 and verses 19 through 20. Turn over there with me in your Bibles. Galatians chapter 5 and verses 19 and 20. Now listen to this. Now all of these things are the works of the flesh. Okay? Now think about this. Desires of the flesh. Works of the flesh. This old body that God gave me that then has committed sin and now is fallen because of it. It has sinful desires, and these desires are the works of the flesh. Now look at verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now these are the things that are out of control, our own desires. And our desires then act upon the things that are in this world to produce in us all of these different behaviors. These are the works of the flesh, okay? The works of the flesh. Now, each one of these is not an individual work of the flesh. These are the consequences of the works of the flesh that are happening within our life. Okay? The desires that we have within our life produce these things. And you may look at this list and say, well, that's not me. But how many of us are free of envying others? Not a single one of us. We've all had envy within our... And maybe you can say, well, I've never committed adultery. And if you haven't, that's great. And I'm glad. But have you envy within your life? Do you have dissension? I don't know that there's a single individual upon the face of the earth that hasn't been involved in some kind of dissension, right? Fighting, disagreeing with people, not getting along with others. That's a work of the flesh. And it starts with our desires. My desires, your desires, that's where it begins. These desires get out of control and they produce the works of the flesh. Jesus said that our sins come from our own heart. Look at Mark chapter 7 and verses 21 through 23. Mark chapter 7 and verses 21 through 23. Now listen to this, what Jesus says here. For from within each one of us, that's what he's talking about. From within, out of the heart of men, proceed what? Evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. We've got to recognize what is out of control. And it's our own self that's out of control. It's our own desires that are out of control. You see, a life that is dominated by fleshly desires is a life that is out of control. And we cannot allow those fleshly desires to take hold of us and have their way. No, we've got to subdue them, and we've got to cause them to submit to God. You see, because it is God who is in control of all things. And that's the second point of our lesson this morning. So, first of all, in order to have self-control, we've got to understand what's out of control. And what's out of control is our own desires. Unless you say, well, I'm too old to have desires, or I'm too young to have desires, or whatever. Remember, pride is in the list that is in Mark chapter 7 and verses 20 through 23. And there ain't nobody old enough not to have pride in their life. And there ain't nobody old enough or young enough not to have pride in their life, except perhaps the smallest child that is out there. Okay? So pride is in that list. So that, what does that mean? It means self-control is something that every single person needs to have. Self-control. So we've got to understand what is out of our control, our own desires. And secondly, we've got to understand who is in control. And God is in control. And we've got to confess that. We've got to confess my life is out of control. And number two, God is in control. Now, if we can confess those two things, we're well on the path to have self-control within our life, to add to our life self-control. You see, because all things were created to serve God's purposes. Listen to Romans chapter 11 and verse 36. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. From him and through him and to him are all things. Now, all things means everything. And that means that God knows what the purpose of all things are. And so that means that God is in control. Look, he created this world, he created everyone in it, and he knows exactly how it works. And he has given those things purposes. And so that means that God is in control. And it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what your situation is. It doesn't matter what's going on. God is always in control because he knows how this world was created. Now turn to Daniel chapter 4 for just a minute. Daniel chapter 4. Because, you know, King Nebuchadnezzar thought that he had control of all things. You know, the greatest lesson that Nebuchadnezzar learned was that he actually had no control at all. Turn to Daniel chapter 4 and verses 28 and following. And look at what happens here. Daniel chapter 4, starting verse 28. Nebuchadnezzar has a dream, and it's about a big tree. And this tree has all the birds of the air come and nest in its limbs and everything. And then an axe comes along and cuts down the tree. And the tree falls over. And all that's left is the stump. And so this dream came upon the king, starting verse 28. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar at the end of the 12 months. He was walking about the royal palace of Babylon, and Daniel came and interpreted that dream for him, and he said, it's appointed that you're going to be shown that you're not in control, but that God is in control. And so he's walking about, And look at verse 30. The king spoke, saying, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for my royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty?" In other words, look at who I am and what I have done. I've controlled all these things. I've created all this. While the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven. "King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you. And they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen, and seven times shall pass over you, until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and gives it to whomever he chooses." That very hour, the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men and ate grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird claws. Well, at the end of the time, Nebuchadnezzar gathered his senses back together again. And he said this, verse 34. "I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation." And so you see, God was in control. Now Nebuchadnezzar thought he was in control, but he wasn't in control. God was in control, and he lost his self-control because he was actually out of control. Now the same thing can happen to us if we don't recognize that God is the one who is in control. Today, God controls everything through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 26 through 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verses 26 through 21. Because that's in essence what the Apostle Paul is writing about here, is about God's being in control of all things. And the church at Corinth had a little problem with that. But look at verse 26. "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you're in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord." Now I want you to think about this. Why did God choose the foolish things of the world and the weak things of the world to put to shame the mighty, to put to shame the wise, to put to shame the proud, to bring everything that we hold to be great to nothing, and to show that he's really the one who's in control, you see, that we're not. We are out of control. God is in control. Will we let him take control of our lives? Now, God has given us the opportunity to have self-control under his dominion, under his reign. And we have self-control by allowing the Spirit to rule within our life. Now, look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 13. "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." And so the deeds of the body are out of control, and we need something to control it, and that is the Spirit. And God has given us the Spirit in order to do that. In Romans 13 and verse 14 we read, "But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires." Make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Those are those out of control desires that we talked about. And we need to bring them under control by putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's turn back to Galatians chapter 5 and verses 16 and 17. Galatians chapter 5 and verses 16 and 17. And look at what the Apostle Paul has to say there about self-control. Galatians 5 verses 16 and 17. Now listen to what he says. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Now, have you ever been in that situation? You've made plans, and you've said, now tomorrow I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. We'll just use my favorite example, cleaning out the garage. Not something everybody likes to do, but occasionally you got to do it, right? So tomorrow I'm gonna clean out the garage. All right, so there's the Spirit telling us that we have to do something. We're planning, we're using the Spirit that God gave us for self-control, and we're planning and we're going to clean out the garage tomorrow. But then tomorrow comes and you sit down and you say, well, you know, I've got to eat breakfast first. And so you go out and you eat a little breakfast, and then you get home and you say, whew, I sure am full. You know, I think I'll wait till this afternoon to clean the garage. Okay. So now you wait, you sit down, and instead of cleaning the garage, you go and watch television for a while, put it on Fox News, right? See what's going on in the world. And so you're watching television, then lunchtime comes around and says, yeah, I need a little fuel before I get out there and clean the garage. So I'll eat a little sandwich here. So you eat your sandwich for lunch and you say, okay, time to clean that garage. And then you think, well, maybe, you know, I really, there's something else that needs to be done first, and I feel like I need to do that. And so you go do that. And you do something else, and maybe, you know, you decide that while you're doing that, you get distracted, and, well, I got to go to the store, and I got to do this, that, and the other, you know. And you really didn't want to clean the garage in the first place, you see. And so now, afternoon gets, the kids are out of school, oh, I got to go pick up the kids from school now, you know. And you get them, and, of course, they've got to, they're just out of control, and they're wild, and you got to settle them down. Now it's time for supper, and you've got to do all that. And then, man, I'm just too tired now to clean the garage, right? And so the garage doesn't get cleaned. Now, that's just an example, okay? And there's nothing sinful about not cleaning the garage. But it's an example to show us how that our flesh, our body, can dictate what to do and when to do it, as opposed to allowing our spirit to guide us in this life. You see, now that happens in a lot of different things, in a lot of different ways. And that's just an example is all it is. But what the Apostle Paul is saying here is this. Have you ever not done something that you planned on doing because of the desires of your body? And the answer is yes. Yes, it happens all the time. You have a spirit and you have a body. And God wants your spirit to be in control of your body, not your body to be in control of your spirit. But so many times we let our body control our spirit instead of letting our spirit control our body. And that's what he's saying here. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh lusts against the Spirit. That is, the desires of the flesh are against the desires of the Spirit. And the desires of the Spirit are against the desires of the flesh. They're against each other. They work against each other. Which one ought to have control? The Spirit, not the flesh. Because what happens when our flesh takes control? It produces the works of the flesh. But what happens when the Spirit takes control? It produces the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, against which there is no law. Now listen to what he says in verse 24. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited or proud, provoking one another, envying one another. So you see, God has given us a spirit. He's given us Jesus. He's given us His Word. And we're using our spirits in accompanying with identifying with Jesus Christ and letting the Word of Christ dwell in us richly, we can control our own lives. So God has not given us a spirit of fear, nor of power, but of love and self-control. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. Now, why do we need self-control? To fulfill God's purposes within our lives. We have a purpose, and that is to love God and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And in order for that purpose to be fulfilled, we've got to have self-control within our life. Now, Jesus came to bring us the abundant life, John 10 and verse 10. And we can have the abundant life if we will control ourselves. You see, because I'm my own worst enemy. I'm my number one detractor from doing what's right and what's good and what's holy. And I need to be brought under control. And the sooner we get in line with God's purposes, the better off we're going to be in life. And we're going to have a life that's filled with peace and love and joy and goodness. And all of those things that we all want for our life, but we're not getting because we're not bringing our flesh under the control of our spirit. Now we need to have self-control within our life, because listen to what happens to a life that is out of control. 1 Corinthians 9 verse 25. Or Proverbs 25 and verse 28. Proverbs 25 and verse 28. A man without self-control is like a city broken and left without walls. Now think about that in the ancient world. If your city didn't have walls, then anything could come in and go out. And you were just subject to the whims of all the bandits and looters and plunderers and everyone else who's big enough and strong enough to come into your city and take whatever it is they want. A city without walls. That's a horrible place to live. So is a body that's without self-control. A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. Now we want to have self-control within our life because every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable crown, but we an imperishable. Self-control is what we need to add to our life. And now that's tough for a lot of different people because there's a lot of things that can be out of control that we need to bring into self-control. And that means we've really got to do something about our life. We've really got to take ownership of our life because I am in control of me, and that's it. No one else. God is in control of all things, and He's given me control of me, and that's it. And I've got to do what I can do with what I have to please Him. So, to have self-control within our life, number one, we've got to realize what's out of control, and that's our own desires. Number two, we've got to remember who is in control, and that's God. Number three, we've got to remember how God has given us self-control, and that's through Jesus and the Spirit. And then number four, why we need self-control, and that's to fulfill God's purposes. Now, God wouldn't command you to do something that couldn't be done. And He commands us to have self-control. Now, that can be done. And with Jesus in our lives and working with us and being directed and guided and led by His Holy Spirit, then we can have self-control and we can live the way God wants us to live. Now, I'm going to be working on that in my life. I kind of hesitate to offer an invitation today because I think every single person would have to come forward, including myself, because we all have problems with self-control in one thing or another. But we will go ahead and say this, and if anybody would like the prayers of the church at this time to help with the problem of self-control within your life, then now is an opportunity to ask for those prayers. And if there's anyone here this morning who's not a Christian, who would like to become a child of God, recognizing that sin has led them out of control and that they need Jesus in their life, working with them and helping them to control their lives so they can have self-control, then now is the time to identify with Christ by hearing the gospel of Christ and believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing Him as Lord, and being baptized for the forgiveness of sins. You see, that's when we identify with Christ, and that's when Christ comes into our life to lead us and guide us so that we can have self-control and we can put to death the desires of the flesh, as the Bible tells us to do just that. And so if you need to identify with Christ this morning by being baptized, we can help you with that as well. And whatever your need may be, you can come now while together we stand and while we sing.